Oh, what time is it anyway? Where's the clock? Do we have any clocks around here?
16 hours, 54 minutes, Coordinated Universal Time.
It's 8:05 p.m.
Lies, lies, all of this is just a lie. The real time is 19:30 UTC, the time at which we always begin the Dubious Goals Committee. So let us take this time to begin. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and I have no idea what I am doing or what's going on in general. And this is a very confusing day for me already. Yeah, it's Saturday, but normal Saturday stuff is not happening. Because it's international break. What is international break, you might be asking? International break is when all the football leagues of the world take a break so that international games can be played, meaning games between nations instead of games between clubs or whatever. So yeah, I've got games I need to watch, but they're not until later. So here we are sitting around. I'm supposed to be watching football, but there is no football. What's happening instead? My cat is standing in the corner, staring into the corner. What the hell? Yeah, hi, what are you doing, you crazy lump of fluff? Yeah. Doesn't H.P. Lovecraft have something to say about this? This sort of bothers me. This is kind of weird. Yes, you're kind of weird, and now the cat has come over here because I started talking into the microphone and stuff, and so now we gotta do a bunch of kitty business, so I gotta get the kitty business pit ready. Yeah, look at you, you're so fluffy. Okay, yeah, so let's get this going, and then I gotta tell you what else is up. Yeah, okay, you get in here. Yeah, okay. Now sit down or do something. What are you doing? All right, we got the kitty in the kitty pit, and so now we're doing some kitty business. And what you need to know when it comes to football today, and when I say football, I do mean football and not football. We've got the Nebraska Cornhuskers game. Yay, look what's on TV. It's the Cornhuskers. So we got some American college football going on today, and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, I have a feeling, are going to lose again today. They have a slightly losing record. They're 4-5, our Nebraska Cornhuskers, which isn't terrible, but, you know, it's not great, especially considering the history of Nebraska football. But we're not going to get into that. Yeah, hi, Pippa, what are you doing? Do you want to watch football or do you want to do kitty stuff? Come on, sit down. So, today the Nebraska Cornhuskers are playing a team that is traditionally not very good, but has been pretty good, pretty great in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or more. And they've beaten us. I'm not going to mention who this is, but it's my ex-girlfriend Eileen's school, if that means anything to anyone. And, yeah, they are ranked. And we are not. And the Nebraska Cornhuskers are probably not going to do very well today. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, why don't you punch it in? Let us listen to some of the game. Well, that would be a problem, normally, because of copyright issues. However, however, he says, I'm going to go ahead and claim fair use. Let's punch this in.
Edrick Mills on third down, and the Huskers move the chains.
Yeah, the Huskers move the chains, because they're off the chain. But they're on the hook.
26th play that Wisconsin has given up this year of 20 or more yards. They don't give up a lot of big ones. Mills will try again, and this time runs into Chris Orr.
Just maybe kind of got around the corner.
Defensively for Wisconsin, they've got a change in the middle of the defensive line. Bryson Williams, the Lincoln native, is injured. He's here but not playing today. Keanu Benton gets the start in the middle of the line. But this defense, Matt, is all around these linebackers.
Yeah, it really is, and they're setting them up. But this defensive line does a really good job of eating up the blockers, and also when they start moving them, they make plays.
Okay, here we go. It's another play.
Mills will motion out on second down. Martinez
runs it up the middle.
There's the
picks up 5 yards.
Using his legs early.
Yeah, so what he's trying to do right there is just spread everybody out, eliminate.
No, what he's trying to do there is advance the ball. We all understand how football is played. We don't need to have it analyzed because it's just so much empty speech. So much talking about nothing. So, there was a little snippet of the Nebraska football game that I'm using in this review of Nebraska football and the Nebraska football game. It's American football. It's pretty boring. It's a lot of waiting around for them to play. So, for every 15-second football play, you have to wait approximately 1 minute, which is why this 1 hour game lasts 3.5 hours. If that makes any sense. Here's all the clocks are running. Everybody's just standing around waiting for the time to run down. So it's kind of tedious. American football is boring because they can't just spontaneously make up a play. They have to follow the plays that they've been taught by the team manager, the coaches and stuff, and then they have to try to execute these plays. And what, 80% of the time, the plays don't work. You know, so a guy, he runs and he gets tackled, or they try to throw the ball and the ball gets dropped, or they try to do this, that, and the thing. But then about, I don't know, how many times does it happen? I would say in an average game about, there's six plays that are actually interesting, and you go, oh, that was cool. The guy almost got tackled, but he stepped out of the way, and then he threw the ball, you know, 40 yards downfield. The guy caught it, and he ran across the field and then down, and they scored a touchdown. Yeah. And then it's interesting. In the meantime, you got to stand around. Yeah, there's another sack. Two sacks in a row. Let's go, Nebraska. Ugh, that's not good. It's not good, Dimpums. All right, so Pip is now laying down here, shredding my ankles. And regular listeners to the Dubious Goals are thinking, oh, wait a minute. We are 9 minutes into this show, and Tobe has not taken a single sip of tea. Well, yeah, that's true. That's because the tea is behind me. And I'm sitting here on the floor with a cat trying to shred my ankles. And I've got one hand on the cat, and I've got one hand on the microphone so we can do a Dubious Goals committee. And how am I going to do this? How am I really would like to drink some tea. Hi, I want to drink some tea. Pippa's looking at me saying, don't do it. Don't take your hand off. Oh, you're going to flop? You're going to be floppy, baby? Yeah, I got a floppy cat. Yeah, you're so floppy. Ooh, okay. Maybe I can do it now. We do a little bit of hand switching action, and then, oh, it's good. Is this the first tea I've had today? Can that be right? Is that true? Oh, yeah, it's good. I gotta say, I do love drinking tea. All right, so what else do we got going on today besides all this football? Well, I gotta tell you this one thing. Why did I wake up with my feet hurting? My feet hurt. You know, not like Oh, it's a sleep injury or something like that. My feet hurt like I was walking a lot yesterday. You know, you get that soreness in the bottom of your feet, and I've got flat feet, and I walk too much as it is, and what did I do yesterday? I guess we did go to Herrenhaven, but geez, you know, we were there for, what, half an hour tops, and then I came home. I didn't do any more walking than that, and my feet didn't hurt last night, but when I woke up this morning, and right now, why are my feet sore? Pippa, you need to do your massage down on the bottom of my feet. Yeah, my cat's still massaging my ankles and not the bottom of my feet. You need to get down here. All right. This isn't working out, so I guess my cat's just gonna keep working on my ankles, and that's fine. Yeah. What is this cat? Such a crazy kitty. Such a crazy kitty. So anyway, here's another weird thing that happened to me last night. What was I even doing? What was I even watching? It doesn't matter, I guess. It's not relevant to the story, but guess which horrible 80s song that somehow managed to be a hit, like all terrible 80s songs. Guess which 80s song I heard last night? I didn't hear the whole thing. I just heard enough of a snippet that it made me start thinking about it, and I still have it going in my head, and it's making me crazy, because this was something I couldn't stand back in the 80s. Oh. If you haven't guessed it by now, you never will, but yes, obviously, it was Mr. Roboto by Styx. And no, we're not going to listen to it. Don't worry. You will never hear me play Styx on the Dubious Goals Committee. You'll be unlikely to hear anything from any concept album whatsoever. There will be no Tommy. There will be no Operation Mindcrime. There will be no Pink Floyd The Wall. There will be no this, that, or the other thing, and you can thank me later. But I'll give you a preemptive you're welcome. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. It's bad English, it's bad Japanese. What is the song about? Nobody knows. Although Styx fans will try to tell you that it's a big, deep thing. I found the entire thing, the entire album, Kilroy Was Here, I found it to be extremely racist. And I guess I'm trying to think back to the 80s where... Were we Japanese bashing back in the 80s? Yeah, kind of a little bit. Because this is when the Japanese started to take over. This is when Japanese products really started to be better than American products. The cars, the electronics. Yeah, and so, oh, wah, the Japanese are better than us. Well, yeah. Who cares? It doesn't matter. We still invent everything and then have it, you know, manufactured over there, and we license it to them, blah, blah, blah. And so we have this stupid, corny concept album by Styx. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Toby, if you hate Styx so much, how do you know so much about this? Well, because I have a friend. Back in the day, I had this friend... and this sinus problem. I had this friend who'd lived in the neighborhood, and he was an interesting guy. I wasn't friends with him at first because he was really odd. He was sort of an odd character and could very well be on the autism spectrum because he seemed like a real sort of dim bulb until you got to know him. And yeah, when it came to a lot of common stuff, he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. However, when it came to other things, he was crazy advanced. And this is sort of why I became friends with him, because he was, oh, shall we say, a computer enthusiast, and I was also a computer enthusiast, and so we did a lot of computer enthusiasm? Yeah, we did. And anyway, he had an interesting taste in music. He didn't like any of the music that my friends liked or what other people liked. He very much had his own thing going. And somehow he got into Styx, and when the Kilroy Was Here album came out, he went crazy for it. He went absolutely nuts, and he thought it was the greatest thing ever. The deepest concept, the highest aspirations in art, you know, just... Okay, right? And so one day, he took an hour or so to explain it to me. He explained the entire story of the album to me and various things, and he made me watch, various videos and stuff. And I thought, yeah, okay, it's a rock opera. It's a concept album. Yeah, he had, at one point in time, he did try to explain the concept of concept album to me. Like, yes, I do understand the concept of concept albums. I do know what The Wall is. I do know what Tommy is, etc., etc. So I got to hear all about it. And the truth of the matter is, if I'm going to rate or grade Kilroy Was Here by Styx, I would have to say that all in all, the idea wasn't terrible. The execution was bad. It was poor, and it wasn't complete. It was a really sort of half-assed sort of attempt and execution and everything. And why do I say that? Well, I say that because although the story and everything, and if somebody explains it to you from the inside out, then yeah, it all makes sense. But if you don't have somebody explaining it to you, you are never going to get the meaning. You're never going to even get the story. It's kind of like Tommy by The Who, where it doesn't quite tell a story. It tells snippets. You know, suppose you take a story that takes 8 hours long to tell, and you only take, you know, like 3.5 to 5 minute snippets of it. That's what you get in these concept albums. And so it's like, yeah, and that's the problem with Kilroy Was Here. Too big of a concept, and none of the songs really worked together. It just didn't make sense. It wasn't tight enough. And so for that reason, I thought it was garbage. And as for the story, well, I also thought it's garbage. Let's come right out and say it. It's garbage, but I'm a pretty hard science fiction guy. You know, I'm not your soft sci-fi guy. I do not think Star Trek is cool. Star Trek sucks. I do not think Star Wars is cool. Star Wars sucks. I'm into the heavy stuff. It's like the kids who are drinking shandies. Oh, look at this. I drank half a beer mixed with some ginger ale. Yeah, no. I'm drinking neat bourbon, okay, right? And that's the way it goes in Tobeland. You push it as hard as it goes, or you don't do it. And so the cat won't move. All right, so anyway, the whole concept of the whole storyline, the whole plot behind Kilroy Was Here is pretty weak. You know, it's just full of like dated 1980s paranoia. You know, oh, rock and roll is going to be, it's the future and rock and roll is illegal. It's a post-apocalyptic future. And there's a giant preacher and rock and roll is illegal. Really? That's where we're going with this? Yeah, but the only reason I give it any credit is that if you look at any musical, if you look at any Broadway musical, and this is where we're going, if you look at any Broadway musical, the stories are weak, the stories are tame, They're made to be as palatable to as many people as possible. You're not going to get anything deep. It's Disney time, kids. Welcome to Disney time in America. What do you think about that, Pippa? Are you going to move so I can move? Because my hip is starting to hurt. Yeah, maybe you need to go look outside. So anyway, my friend, he just thought that Kilroy was here was, you know, the greatest, you know, artistic achievement of the 20th century. And at one point I said to him, you know, if you like this kind of stuff so much, why don't you just listen to opera? This is just opera. Why not listen to opera where there's some bigger stories and they last a little bit longer? There's a little bit of character development and other aspects of storytelling that you might find missing in your typical concept album. And I sort of said that to him as a joke, but he did eventually become very interested in musical theater. Not opera, but musical theater. And he did some theater in high school, which I avoided like the plague. Yeah, can you believe that? I wasn't actually a theater nerd. I thought the cat was going to move. Oh, well. So anyway, theater, concept albums, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, my friend, he became a big theater nut, and he's the kind of person who plans and makes trips to New York to see shows on stage, and he was attending a lot of dinner theater at one point in time, too. He is a real character. He's a real character. I haven't seen him in a while, and I should probably look him up, see what he's doing. Oh, and then I went to college. So, yeah, fast forward, how many years? Fast forward to almost 10 years or whatever. And I'm in college, and I'm sitting in a design class. Yeah, I had this two-dimensional design class, and there was this other guy in it who... I might have been the only other male in the entire class, and so this guy decided he would befriend me. And he was basic metal guy. And this is right when metal and hair metal and all that was really, really not popular anymore and really taking a dive. And this guy's still wearing the tiger stripe, you know, spandex pants and the leather jacket with chains, and he's got the teased up, not very long hair, but he's trying. You're a metal guy. You know metal guy. And so I got to talking to metal guy, and he was actually kind of cool, and he was something of a musician himself, and we liked to talk about other stuff, and so one day he decided to sit down and tell me all about his favorite band, Queensryche. Because I mentioned that, no, I don't really know them. I know that they exist. I'm familiar with the name. I can't tell you the names of any of their songs or how many tunes. And look at this. Look at this, Pippa. Nebraska just got a kickoff returned against them. That's hilarious. You never see kickoff returns. And now, yeah. So Nebraska scored. They kicked off. And the other team scored, tie game. So metal guy proceeds to sit me down, and while we're working on whatever we're working on, he tells me all about the idea of concept albums. And I said, yes, I am familiar with the concept of concept albums. And then he proceeds to tell me the plot of Operation Mindcrime, one of Queensryche's albums. That is a concept album and a rock opera. And what is it about? Is it the post-apocalyptic future and rock and roll has been outlawed? No. No, it's slightly different. But it's still It's still kind of cheesy. And yes, I actually had to listen to some Queensryche, and no, we'll not be listening to any Queensryche today on this show. But he made me listen to some Queensryche, and you know, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. And actually, for the music of the time, that metal music of the time, it was a little bit better than a lot of the stuff out there. It was a little more technical, a little bit more virtuosic, a little bit tighter, you know, just a little bit better all around, I had to admit. And I wanted to badmouth the band. I wanted to tell the guy, no, this band is terrible. What are you doing? But I couldn't. I think, no, yeah. For this genre of music, I understand that these guys are pretty good. And this is actually sort of why Queensryche wasn't very popular. You know, it's not about being good. That's all I can tell you. Oh, good tea today. Oh, yummy, yum, yum. So what am I eating for lunch today? I don't know. Not egg rolls. I ate egg rolls yesterday. I think I'm going to have some rice today. If this cat will ever get up, I got a cat sitting on me. Yes, you're the kitty. You're the kitty cat. You're the kitty. Yeah, so that's about all I got. No, so I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, what about you? Have you ever written a concept album? Have you ever written a rock opera? Have you ever done... the answer is yes, no, maybe, kind of. Not really, but... I gotta move. I gotta shift. My foot hurts. I've often thought about it. Not a concept album per se. Not a rock opera, but I have thought about actually writing like a straight up opera. And I have actually gone so far as to write some librettos for operas, and I've done this twice now. The first one was, it was okay. Yeah, it's functional. It's perfectly functional. It'll work fine. Okay, the cat's moving. Good. And that, I was pretty young. And then I wrote one about 15 years ago, just the libretto, because I had this idea that I wanted to write, like, a phone freak opera or a hacker's opera, right? Kind of centered around early hacking, phone freaking stuff. But, you know, I don't think I even wrote the whole libretto. I only got so far, and I was like, well, where am I going with this? And why are we doing it? And what's the point? And is anybody even going to get this? Because basically, I was in a mood where it's like, let's take cyberpunk and retro up. Let's show the beginnings of how this came about. Let's do this as a storytelling exercise. And I got to a certain point and just sort of went, but what's the point? I have a hard time writing conflict. You know, we could philosophize on this some more, but this is one of those things where I have to say, you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. Stay tuned for the sound show, genre mix, and discussion. MJT's up next, but I'm out.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line,